Quiet, please. Quiet, please. Broadcasting Company presents Quiet Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper and which features Ernest Chappell. Quiet Please for today is called Good Ghost. I never did anything wrong in my life. That's why I was so upset when Schuster murdered me. I'm just standing there minding my own business, and Schuster, he pulls out this cannon and he points it at me and it goes boom, and I say ouch, and I'm lying there. And he walks away down Lake Street towards Michigan Avenue. Yeah, right there on the corner of Lake and Wabash at 1:15 in the morning. Ouch, I said, and I just laid there. After a while, I got up and I walked away. I was all mixed up. I guess I didn't realize I was dead because I walked over to Randolph Street. I started up the elevated steps, but something stopped me, something like a rope or something across the bottom of the stair steps, and I couldn't get up. So I looked around to see what it was, and there was nothing. There was a voice speaking kind of in my ear.
"You can't go up there, Gus."
That's what the voice said. And there wasn't anybody there. I looked. "Well, all right," I said to myself. "There's more than one way to skin a cat." So I walked over to State Street, and I started down the subway stairs. You know what? I couldn't go down there either. There was this same voice whispering in my ear.
"You can't go down there, Gus."
Well, I said, "Where am I going to go?" But I didn't hear any answer to that. So I put one foot in front of the other, and you know what I did? I walked. And for the first time in my life, for the first time, my feet didn't hurt. So that's one consolation, I said, being a ghost, your feet won't hurt. Well, I was bewildered, see. I walk and I walk and I walk, and pretty soon, it's about 5:00 in the morning, and I'm out in Logan Square. And I said to myself, "Why, Schuster lives around here someplace, don't he?" And I am in Schuster's house. See, I was a pretty new, inexperienced ghost then. Gosh, if I'd have known, I wouldn't have had to walk all the way out to Logan Square. I could have flew or whatever it is I do. But I've learned now. I'll tell you about it. Well, like I said, there I am in Schuster's house. Well, you didn't know Schuster, did you? He was laying there, sound asleep on the bed, and he was a pretty good-looking fella in a kind of fat way. He was laying there snoring. He had his hand hanging over the edge of the bed, and I never thought I just went over and I took hold of his hand and I said, "Hey, Schuster. Schuster. Hey, Schuster. Schuster, wake up.
Who's that?
Wake up, Schuster. It's me."
"No! Who's that?
Well, gee, was Schuster bad enough to murder a guy? You have to scare the life out of him?"
"Somebody had hold of my hand.
It was me.
A cold hand.
It was me, I told you.
Who's that?"
"It's me, Schuster."
"But the hand..."
"It's Gus."
"Gus!
You awake now?"
"You get away from me! You're dead!"
"Yeah, I know it. I didn't mean to wake you up so violent, Schuster."
"I'm asleep. I'm dreaming."
"No, honest, Schuster. I'm sorry.
I'm hearing things. Oh, why did I knock him off?"
"Hey. Huh? Why did you knock me off?"
Is that really you, Gus?"
"Sure."
"Did you come to haunt me?"
"No, not especially. I was just wondering, why didn't you shoot me?"
I'm going to turn on the lights. There ain't nobody here. I had a nightmare." "There. You see, you chump. There ain't nobody here."
"I'm here."
"It was a nightmare."
"Uh-uh."
"Gus, I hear you."
"Sure.
What do you want?"
"I told you. Why did you kill me?"
"Will you go away if I tell you?"
"Well..."
"It was on a kind of Ada."
"Ada?"
"Yeah, Ada. Will you go away now and leave me?"
"Schuster."
"Huh?"
Schuster, is your intentions towards Ada honorable?
Oh, why, sure, Gus. Will you go away now?
Move over, Schuster. I want to do a little thinking. Well, Schuster, he put his head underneath the covers and he shriveled all up in a knot and I thought and thought. He kept shivering and sticking up dead, and so pretty soon I went to sleep. And when I awoke, Schuster was gone. So I got to thinking about Ada. Gee, when Ada was Schuster, I sure did like Ada. Ada always wore hair and a pompadour, and her hair was so black, and her eyebrows were so cute, and she always smelled so nice. Gee, Ada. I always thought Ada liked me pretty much, too. Whenever I had a couple of bucks, I used to take Ada out to the Trianon and dance. She was about 3-4 inches taller than me, but we danced all right together. That's where Schuster ran into us at the Trianon. Gee whiz, I never thought Ada would fall for Schuster. Funny, ain't it? You're always the last one to find out. I thought she liked me. I never even had a chance to be jealous of Schuster. I sure did like Ada. I was thinking about the time Schuster drove us out to the forest preserve, Ada and me. The three of us had a picnic, weenies, and she made potato salad, and we had a swell time. And then I remember, I didn't notice it then, she kept sitting next to Schuster all the time. Well, I thought, laying there on Schuster's bed, I'm too late. And if Ada likes Schuster, well, all I can do is try to help him out. Schuster... Well, I could do without him, but Ada, I want her to be happy. And thinking about it, all of a sudden, I'm in Ada's apartment, and Schuster's there with her, and Ada's crying a little bit.
It sure is too bad, Ada. He was a nice little feller.
I can't hardly believe you said Schuster.
Well, he is.
I'll say I am.
What did you say?
I didn't say nothing.
I thought you did. Poor little fella.
He
goes so sudden.
Yeah, too bad. Gee, please, Schuster, you done it.
I was so fond of him.
I know you was, Ada.
And now I'm all alone in the world.
Oh, no, you ain't, Ada. I'm here.
Sure, Ada, he's here.
Oh, Schuster. I'm so lonesome.
Put your head on my shoulder, Ada, honey, and leave us weep together.
Oh, Schuster.
And so she put her head on the Schuster's shoulder, but she didn't weep. He kissed her. And so I come away. After all, how much can you take, huh? Well, so it looks like it's on the up and up, and besides, what could I do? I am dead. So I sit down on a bench in Lincoln Park, and I think, funny, them concrete benches used to feel cold when I sat on them, but now they don't feel cold anymore. I guess because I'm a ghost. Well, I figure I have to talk to Schuster again. What? Well, I figure I have to help him out. Help Ada out, I mean. I don't want Ada to go around being unhappy, and so if her and Schuster is going to get married, well, then least I can do is give him a hand. I know Schuster ain't got a quarter, and there's ways a guy in my position can help, see? No, I don't know how I know it, but it's true. A ghost can do pretty nearly anything if he works it right. So I wait till night and I start to walk out to Logan Square. And then I remember I don't have to walk. And zing, I am in Schuster's room. Schuster is sitting there thinking, and I say, Schuster. Hey, Schuster. He don't give me a tumble, but I can see his eyes moving, looking around the room. Hey, Schuster, I say again. I want to talk to you. And you know what he done? He jumped out the window. Well, I'm so surprised I can't even follow him out the window. You know what? That Schuster, he was the hardest guy to haunt I ever seen. And look, I didn't want to do nothing. All I wanted to do was help Ada. Sure, what if he does shoot me? That's over. I gotta help Ada. Heck, I loved Ada, see? A couple of nights later, I seen him get in his car. I got in alongside him, and I figured, this is fine. We're all alone in the car. And then I begin to worry. If I say something while we're driving, he'll probably wreck the car. So I wait till we're stopped by the light of Diversity in Lincoln Park. We're standing still. What can happen? So I put my hand on top of his on the gear shift, and I say, hey, Schuster. Bam, crash, jingle, bounce. He takes his foot off in the clutch, and we're through a high iron fence, and the car is upside down, and Schuster has got a sprained ankle. Gee whiz, I said, I'm a heck of a ghost. But he's laying there, and I think this is a good time to talk to him before the ambulance comes. He can't move. But he crosses me up. He faints. And while she's laid up with his ankle all bandaged up, Ada comes and sees him. And the way she puts her arms around him and kisses him, I says, this is no place for me. So I come away again. I couldn't take it. But that only made it worse. I should talk to him and see what I can do for Ada and him. So after a while, he's well, and I see him and Ada every once in a while, and he treated her like... Gee whiz, the way I wished I could have treated her. And she headed up. Well, one night Schuster goes into a movie. I saw the movie before. You got a lot of time on your hands when you're a ghost. Usually you can get in movies free. I followed him inside, and while he was running the sign on the screen, it said, next week, Hollow Triumph. I lean over close to him and I say, Schuster. Gee whiz, he went up like a balloon. People was hollering, and he was hollering, and the ushers calming the cops, and they drug him away. You know what the upshot of that was? He kept hollering to the cops that he was haunted, and they thought he was touched in the head, and they put him in a wagon and took him out to psychopathic for observation. Man, I sure made a mess out of things, didn't I? And all I'm trying to do is be a good guy, a good ghost, I mean. So, come evening out to psychopathic, I go. Boy, what a place. And I hunt high and low for Schuster till it's about 2 o'clock. Then I hear a kind of gargle I think is familiar, and I go through a little door, and oh, boy, there he is. In a straitjacket. Well, for pity's sake, Schuster, I said. Well, Schuster, stop it. I ain't going to hurt you. Schuster, listen to me. Schuster, don't you bust something. Now, listen, Schuster. Listen to me. I ain't mad. Nah, Schuster, I ain't mad at all. I want...
You
want
to kill me?
What?
Kill me?
Kill you?
Yeah, kill me.
Nah, Schuster, all I want to do is help you.
No,
Schuster, somebody will hear you.
Yeah.
Look, I'm only allowed to kill one person, see, Schuster? No, you ain't allowed to kill the fella that killed you, see? I can only knock off one fella, and he has to be a bad fella. Well, I know you're kind of bad, but you can't be all bad, Schuster, or else Ada wouldn't love you. Does Ada love you?
Yeah.
And do you love her?
Mm.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Don't kill me!
What?
Please!
Listen, I said I wasn't going to kill you. I just want to help you.
Yeah?
A ghost can do lots of things, Schuster.
Yeah.
You need money, Schuster?
Yeah.
You broke?
Yeah.
Well, you can't marry Ada without money.
Yeah.
I'll get you the money.
Yeah?
I'm not kidding. Only will you promise to marry Ada as soon as you get the money?
Yeah.
Well, I said, it's okay then. And I reached over and patted him on the forehead. And he heaved himself up and the gag came out of his mouth.
Let me out of here!
So I have to start all over again. I stuff the thing back in his books, and all he can say is ergo-ergo, and I lay it all out to him again. He was bound and determined I was going to knock him off. He must have had a guilty conscience or something. But it was daylight when I finally sold him a bill of goods. Look, I kept saying, it's Ada I'm thinking of. I want Ada to be happy. I have to help you if I'm going to help Ada, can't you see? And it was Like I said, broad daylight when I took the gag away from him again, and I was all ready to put it back, but...
Okay, guys, okay. I believe you.
You got to believe me.
But you got to remember, if you hurt me, you'll be hurting Ada, guy.
I know it, Schuster. Why else would I go to all this trouble? Heck, Schuster, I loved Ada. And he just looked at me funny, and I said, okay, I'll meet you at Rolo's next Wednesday night. And I come away. Rolo's. I don't suppose you ever been there, huh? Gambling joint. I used to go there once in a while when I was alive. Pick up a couple of dollars shooting craps or something. Schuster goes there a lot, too. I'm standing by the wheel when Schuster comes in. I'm just standing there. And, of course, Schuster can't see me when he comes up. He stood there looking a minute, and Rolo gave him a hello.
Hello, Schuster. Hi, Rolo. Get your bets down, gent. Schuster, you going to play?
17.
What'd you say?
I said you're going to play. Get your money down.
I said 17.
5 on 17.
Our bet's down. That's all, gent.
And I left it spin a minute, and I put my finger on the 17, and I stopped it.
17. Here you are, Schuster. Get your bets down, gent.
Four.
Four.
$100.
$100.
Oh, pledging, huh, Schuster?
Spin the wheel.
Our bets down. Round and round she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
The heck nobody knows. I know. She stops on four.
Four. Well, nice going, Schuster.
Yeah, it is nice, ain't it?
11, Schuster.
11. $500.
Take it easy, Schuster.
Spin the wheel. That was an awful short spin, Rolo.
Real basic about it. Stopped on four, didn't it?
Hey, Schuster.
What?
Ain't you got enough?
Enough?
To marry Ada? You win three times.
Oh, come on, Gus. Let's not quit yet.
Okay. 13.
13. $1,000.
At 4:30 in the morning, Rolo declared that the bank was busted. Schuster took every dime in the joint. Schuster was in need of help. And he went out of that place with money sticking out of every pocket and his hat. Hey, Schuster, I said.
Wow, Gus, you're terrific. I'm set for life.
You ain't set for life, Schuster, I said. Not yet, Shane.
What do you mean?
You forgot about Ada.
Ada? Oh. Oh, Ada.
Yeah, this bow is to get married on, Schuster, remember?
Yeah. Well, what do you know? Pretty near forgot about Ada. Can you imagine that?
And so 2 days afterwards, Schuster and Ada drive over to Crown Point to a little justice of the peace, and they get married. Gee, whiz, it was a happy day. Ada sure looked pretty with her pompadour and a new dress and Carson's period and her eyes shining, and she was nervous and cute. And even Schuster looked pretty good in a double-breasted green suit. And I got sentimental and I kind of bawled, standing there watching. Only, of course, nobody knowed I was there, and I thought, gee, that might have been me, maybe.
I know,
only it's too late.
I do.
And the least I can do is to see that she has everything she wants. I can do that. On account I'm a ghost.
I
can do practically anything. There is Ada looking all pink and about to bust. She's so happy, and Schuster holding his arms around her and grinning, and the old JP grinning too and looking at the $100 bill. And I couldn't help it. I stepped right up close.
What's the matter, honey?
Oh, I felt something cold on my cheek all of a sudden.
And it was only me kissing the bride. I love you, Ada. Oh, sure, they was as happy as bumblebees. Heck no, I wouldn't never intrude into their privacy. I never went to their house. But I used to meet Schuster once in a while, and I'd say... Schuster, how they going?
Oh, fine, Gus, fine. Well, Gus, it is very happy.
And I'd always feel glad and happy about it. And then one day I meet Schuster and I ask him the same question. He kind of stutters and stammers for a minute.
Well, look, Gus, Ada wants a mink coat.
Why don't you get her one?
Well, I, I'm not holding, Gus. I made a couple of bad investments.
So Schuster and me, we busted the bank at Rollo's again. And Rollo, he wasn't very happy about it, but what could the man do? It was his business, wasn't it? And Ada was happy, I figured. Schuster hit me again when the Arlington race season started.
Say, Gus, can you do anything about horses?
Like what?
You know.
What's the matter? You broke again?
No, but I kind of like to get a new car for Ada.
A goat by the name of Lollipops. He committed 134-1, and I nearly wore myself out flagging down the other horses. Schuster had $200 on Lollipops' nose. Gee whiz, I said Ada ought to get two cars. Both of them chromium plated. Schuster said to me, hey, Gus, see, I was always around someplace. There wasn't no place for me to go. I kept trying the subway and the elevator, but no soap. I was stuck. So I stayed within calling distance. Ada was awful nice. Gee whiz. Schuster said to me, say, Gus.
Say, Gus.
What?
You know the sweepstakes?
Yeah.
Well,
what?
I got a ticket.
Gee whiz, Schuster.
Well, Ada wants a house in Lake Forest. That costs bucks.
Oh, well. Well, Ireland is a nice place, but sorting through all of them ticket stubs to find BB 46, 37, 28, 29 was quite a job of work. What? $110,000? You can buy quite a joint in Lake Forest for that kind of mover. Oh, boy, I thought Ada's doing all right. And I'm glad even the future is getting to be kind of a pain in the neck.
Ever think about the stock market, Gus?
No.
Oh, that's where a guy could really clean up.
Or lose his shirt.
Oh, not with my little mascot, my little palsy wealthy.
Who's that?
You! Me? Sure.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, my gosh, you can do anything.
Well,
Ada wants to go to Mexico for the summer.
Wow.
Oh, boy, $1 million. Gus, let's get another million.
Another million? What for the city say?
Why, for Ada, Gus. Her birthday's tomorrow.
Why, you know what? I forgot that. I used to buy her a box of the mess candy or when I had the money Fanny made. And now I forgot her birthday. Gee whiz. Well, first I went over to LaSalle Street and I went up to the stock exchange and I sent Consolidated something up 81 points. And then I said to myself, I just gotta see Ada on her birthday and see how happy she is. Gee, I mean, cold and a new automobile. I bet it's a Rolls Royce. A house in Lake Forest. No, she's in Mexico, I thought. But I'll say happy birthday in Mexican, even if she won't hear it. And so, she wasn't in Mexico. I looked all over Lake Forest, and there wasn't any Schuster living there. And then I just thought, Ada. I want to see Ada. And I was right alongside her. Ada didn't have any mink coat. She didn't have any automobile. She was living in a flat on Taylor Street, and there wasn't any heat in the house. There wasn't anything to eat either. She was laying on a cot, and I hardly even recognized her. The pompadour was all stringy and kind of dirty gray, and her eyes, she had a black eye. She was sick. She was hungry. She was lonesome. She was pretty close to dying. How do you like that? My Ada. And Schuster, the wheel, horses, sweepstakes, the stock market, $1 million. I kissed Ada. And Ada knew that was there. Ada spoke my name. She laid back on the cot and she cried some more. I couldn't take that dream when I come away. Chester was in Lolo's. Did I tell you Lolo had some very tough customers around? Yeah, he did. I went up to Schuster and I said, Schuster. Schuster, I said. Rolo wants to see in his office.
I'm busy, Gus.
Better go on in, Schuster. There's something for you in there.
Is there? No.
Go see. So Schuster went on in and I after him.
Hey, Rolo, what do you want? Rolo! Rolo!
He's dead, Schuster.
Put him out of here.
No.
Listen, Gus.
Look at that knife in his back, Schuster.
That's my knife.
Got your name on it.
I didn't do it.
I know you didn't. But they'll think you do.
Who will think so?
Yeah, they're out the big guy, Sam Harwell, the guy with the brass knucks, Ralph, the guy that bites
people.
I didn't
do it, Gus.
No, I done it, Schuster.
You?
Sure. Remember, I told you I was allowed to knock off one guy. One bad guy. Rolo was an awful bad guy, sure. So are you, for that matter. Them guys liked Rolo an awful lot, sure. What they'll do to a guy they think killed him. The door's locked from the outside, Schuster. The door's locked. The tough boys are coming. Can you pray, Schuster?
God! Please! God!
Not to me, Schuster! So long, lad.
God! God!
And I walked out just as the tough guys, the bodyguard of the dead man, started hammering on the door. I could still hear Schuster crying and moaning in there. And you know what? Out there in the big room, there was a set of stairs I never seen before. I started up the stair steps, and there wasn't anybody to stop me. And I climbed up and up and up, and the stairway went right on up ahead of me. And there was somebody at the top. Black pompadour, shining eyes. What? I'm not such a bad ghost after all, am I?
The title of today's Quiet Please story is Good Ghost. It was written and directed by Willis Cooper. The man who spoke to you was Ernest Chappell.
And Murray Forbes was Schuster, Ada was Ruth Lass, and Rolo was played by Arthur Cole. As usual, music for Quiet Please is by Albert Berman. Now, for a word about next week, here is our writer-director, my good friend Willis Cooper.
Thank you for listening to Quiet Please. For next week, I have a story for you. It's called Calling All Souls.
And so until next week at the same time, I am quietly yours, Ernest Chappell. And now, a listening reminder. The war against organized rackets makes for exciting, dramatic entertainment. And you can enjoy it every Sunday afternoon over your ABC station when David Harding, counter-spy, becomes involved in another daring adventure with the underworld. Don't miss this afternoon's story. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.